Have your Bibles and invite you back to Philippians 2. We serve an amazing Christ. Amen. Simply amazing in all facets of his life. At the funeral Tuesday morning, I'm thankful to have a part in the funeral, and we went to the cemetery. My uncle had served in the military service, so they gave him an army funeral. But the cemetery where he was buried at, it was such a large cemetery that they had sections in that cemetery, and you knew which way to go because of the names of those sections. He was buried in the resurrection section, and they had different sections. That's the only way that I guess, if you wasn't familiar with where you were going, you would never find the gravesite. But they had different sections, and it was an amazing thing. He served in the military, and you know how military service conducted. They fire their arms, those that do, and they blew taps. And this was not rehearsed. No one knew it. But as the soldier finished playing the taps, two army fighters went over, jets went over that cemetery. Isn't that amazing? That was truly amazing. And the boys, he has three boys, and it just shocked them because they hadn't planned that, nothing. But those two jet fighters went over that cemetery. And as I thought, as the sections of that cemetery were named, here in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, we find really the sections of our Lord's life. And this is nothing new. You've heard them before. But I want to just share them very quickly with you tonight. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our Heavenly Father, bless the reading of thy word. I pray tonight, Father, for those that are sick and less fortunate, for those that are suffering because of the loss of their homes and so forth, and Lord, just to comfort them. We pray for this church. We pray for the sick. We pray for those that are traveling. And each member, Lord, we just pray that we have the vision that we should. And Lord, that we would be the member that you would have us to be. And Father, tonight, we're so thankful for our salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. And Father, tonight, as we just look at him and his life, we may pray that we exalt him tonight. And we can leave saying that we've heard the message of the cross, the message of our Savior tonight. That should, Father, just encourage each of us that are saved and know him as our personal Savior. Now, Father, just go with us through the remainder of this message tonight. Have your will and way in my life, for I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, the Bible says that Philip went down to the Ethiopian eunuch and he simply preached Jesus unto him. And certainly there were things about Jesus that he shared to that Ethiopian eunuch. Preaching Jesus is just not just preaching the name of Jesus, but it also preaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many amazing things about Jesus. And as you look at these verses tonight, you'll find the first amazing thing that comes to my heart is in verse 6 tonight. The Bible says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I find, first of all, the amazing of his incarnation. And that is that Jesus, being God, became flesh. The Bible says here that he was what? In the form of God. And that it thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Certainly we believe tonight that Jesus was God. Amen. Now tonight we're talking about a miracle when we're talking about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, deity becoming flesh. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7. And Isaiah 7:14 makes a statement concerning Jesus becoming flesh. and what it was about. The Bible says that in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive, and thou shalt call his name, note, Emmanuel, but note what the word Emmanuel means. God with us. God with us. Now, we understand that in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I realized to the world that only a babe was born. But to us tonight that study the Bible and believe the Word of God, there was more than just a babe that was born. It was God becoming flesh and God sending forth His Son into the world. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. Remember, Matthew records the regal line of the Lord Jesus Christ through Joseph. Even though Joseph was not the physical father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Luke records the, as we might say, the legal line of the Lord Jesus as he traces him back to Adam and through Mary. But when we come to John, he goes much farther. He goes farther than Adam. He goes what? Into eternity past with our Lord. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and that Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now the Bible says in verse 14 that that Word which was God was what? Made flesh. And what did Isaiah say? Isaiah said, God with us. John says, He dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the Father, of the only begotten of the Father. Now as we note tonight, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And as we study tonight, we find the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is very God. The Bible says in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken to us in His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now note this, being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, being the brightness of His glory, and the express or the exact image of His person. You know, tonight, if we were man, and looking at it from the viewpoint of man, we would probably say tonight that Jesus was half God and half man. But that would be incorrect, because we're not looking from the standpoint of man. We're looking from the standpoint of God Himself. Jesus was all God. Jesus was all God. And Jesus was all man. Not part, and did not have part of one, but He was fully and complete God, and He was fully and complete man. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Where Timothy writes, or Paul to Timothy, there is one mediator between God and man. Now, Paul writes, the man. Notice, the man, Christ Jesus. You know, tonight, as far as being humanly possible, we say that that is impossible. But you remember that the Bible says all things are possible with God. And I'm not going to stand up here tonight and tell you that I understand all things about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe the Word of God. And I accept the Word of God. When Jesus walked upon this earth, it was God walking upon this earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Job, and as I thought of this, I thought of Job and what he said. Job called an individual a dazed man. And you remember what a dazed man was. A dazed man would stand in behalf of Job, and then he would also stand in behalf of God. Job referred to him as the dazed man. Jesus is our dazed man. He is our mediator. He represents us to God, being God Himself. He represents man to God, being man Himself. Now, there's one thing, as I always have to remind myself, that though Jesus was man,
He did not have the Adamic nature of mankind. His nature that he possessed was not sinful. His nature was what? Holy, and that of God. You know, many times we note that Satan tempted our Lord. And you say, well, Brother Danny, he could have been tempted. Well, sure, he was tempted. But there was something missing in him that is in us. And that was that Adamic nature that is so susceptible to sin itself. I believe that in Christ, there were all holy thoughts that possessed his mind. Holy deeds and holy actions. Because, again, he was very God. To give him at least is not to honor him. We must exalt him as being God, and we must accept him as being very man. You know, you look at that and you study it, it's amazing. I look at him being God, and he knew all things. He knew things that would happen before things. Look at John chapter 1 when you study, and I won't ask you to turn there, but think of Nathanael. And you remember what he told Nathanael? Nathanael, while you was under the fig tree, I knew you were there. Jesus knew all things. But here in being man, what did he do? He grew in what? Physical stature. He grew in physical stature. I mean, as I look and as I find that, his body grew. It grew as a man body would grow. He grew, as we might say, in stature. He, in his manlyhood, he had sorrows as we have sorrows, yet without sin. So Jesus was made man like as we are. You know, the Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews that in all points he was tempted, yet without sin. But it also says we have a high priest, which what? Can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That is, he knows our frame. He knows us. And therefore tonight, he is what we say, the God-man. And truly, he's amazing, and there is the miracle of the incarnation. But go on down in the book of Philippians chapter 2 tonight, and look what it states to us in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 2. I come to another little garden about Jesus. The Bible says in Philippians 2 verse 7, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Now, note that state. He made himself of no reputation, but the Bible says he took upon him the form of a what? The form of a servant. And there is the garden of humiliation. I want you to turn back to Isaiah 53. If John 3:16 is the gospel of the New Testament, Isaiah 53 is the gospel of the Old Testament. And the Bible talks about our Lord, and it says this in verse 2 of Isaiah 53. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. And we did, as it were, hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now you say, Brother Danny, whose servant was he? First and foremost, he was the servant of God. He honored his heavenly Father in his work. And therefore, he was the servant of God. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. A servant does what? A servant performs work. Jesus performed work. He performed the work of the Father. In John 17, the Bible says in verse 4, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The work. What was that work? In his death, the crucifixion. The work of the cross. You know, it's amazing, and I guess the world wants to believe what it believes and emphasize what it wants to emphasize. But isn't it amazing that the world will emphasize, I think, more of the birth of Christ than it does concerning his humiliation and his crucifixion? Maybe the world doesn't want to accept that kind of Savior being such a lowly Savior. But Jesus honored the Father's work. When he went to the cross, and gave his life. He honored the Father's will. Not my will, but thy will be done. So tonight, Jesus was the Father's servant. But you know something else? Jesus served man and others while he was here. In the book of Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but now look, to minister and to give his life a ransom for all. To minister. What does a minister do? He serves. He's a servant. And Jesus served humanity while here on earth. We realize and we find that Jesus did what? He healed the sick. He healed the blind. He reached out to those that were poor. He reached out to those who were misfortunate. Jesus served humanity while here on earth. Jesus has left us the exact ultimate example of what a servant is all about. That servant serves out of love. He serves out of care as for the master. So did Jesus. His servitude was out of love and compassion for those who he reached out to. His was not out of form. His was not out of habit. His was not out of talent. What Jesus did in his life, he felt it in his heart. And folk, listen, it showed in his life. What an example he gives me. What an example he gives you as being the servant of the Lord of God the Father. So tonight, in his humiliation, didn't exalt himself. Didn't exalt himself. Do you realize tonight that here Christ could come to this earth? And Jesus could have exalted his power. He could have exalted his person. He could have exalted those things and said, look at me, look at me. Yet not that. Jesus showed humility in his life. He showed humility as he went and obeyed the Father's will. And that's amazing in the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at the next statement that you turn in your Bibles. Turn back to Philippians chapter 2. And there's another garden that we come to in the book of Philippians chapter 2. And concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 7. It says again, he took upon him the form of servant. He was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There we note tonight the garden of the crucifixion. Mind that we find that the purpose of the Lord was to come and to give his life. Paul said to the Corinthians, remember when we studied that book, he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him what? Him crucified. The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. My, as we look tonight, go back again to the gospel of the Old Testament. Go back again to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And find that Isaiah spoke of his crucifixion. The Bible says this in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep he is, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. What is he talking about? He's talking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that he was obedient. How that he was obedient unto death, and therefore the crucifixion. My, tonight, the cross still has saving power, doesn't it? We sing that song, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Listen, it was at the cross that Jesus shed his precious blood. I know tonight that I heard a preacher preaching the other day, and he made the statement that modern religion wants to take the blood out of Christianity today. But folk, I want to tell you tonight, you may get tired of hearing it. And a child of God should never get tired of hearing it. But without the shedding of blood is no remission. We cannot be forgiven outside the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by faith in that blood that we're saved tonight. Faith in the work of Jesus that he did on the cross of Calvary. Certainly amazing in his crucifixion. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. He who did no sin, all of the sins of humanity were placed upon Him at the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Listen, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that we were yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Where? On the cross. On the cross. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Endured the cross. Why? Once again, His love that He had for you and I. My tonight, nothing greater than the love of God as it was expressed at the cross of Calvary. And then look again at another garden in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Look again at this garden. The Bible says this, wherefore God has highly exalted Him. And I just want to stop right there, and we can put a couple of gardens there. There is the garden of resurrection. God hath what? Brought Him from the grave. And God has given Him what? Exaltation. God has given Him power. Turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 concerning His resurrection and concerning His exaltation. In verse 18 of Revelation chapter 1. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive evermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. My exaltation and power. God rose Him from that grave. And therefore, we find that Jesus is simply great in His resurrection. But not only did He raise Him from the grave, I understand that God exalted Him. Exalted Him. You remember that in the New Testament when the disciples were gathered around that table? And you remember when the sons of Zebedee, I think, were arguing and kind of bickering who were going to be at the right hand of the table, at the right hand of honor and position? And of course, Jesus told them, it's not in with me to give you that position or give you that place. You say, why? Because Christ Himself had it. Jesus is where? Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. He alone has been exalted that position. You know, today, and I just noticed here the other day, Catholicism. And I understand that Catholicism exalts people to sainthood. And I was looking and saw it in the newspaper on TV somewhere, that Mother Teresa, and I use that kindly, you understand where I use that, and said that she has been exalted now to the place of sainthood. Well, folk, let me tell you something. I just don't believe in that whatsoever. I believe tonight that right now Jesus is the one who's been exalted. He is the only one that we should ever, recognize in that place and give that position to. Because of His accomplishments, because of what He accomplished through His death, burial, and resurrection, God has exalted Him. Listen what the Bible says to us tonight in verse, 9. It says this, that God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Now, as you look tonight, the name of Jesus, turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. You find the exaltation as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 19, find verse 11 and along there. And listen as the Bible states to us, or verse 8, or excuse me, it is verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. He that sat upon Him was called faithful and true in righteousness. He did judge and make war. And listen, the Bible says in verse 13, He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. armies which were in heaven followed him. And the Bible says they were upon white horses. They were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now in verse 16, he hath on his vesture and he has on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My tonight, folk, listen. God has exalted him and he's given him the highest place. He's given him the highest name. And as we know, one day he shall come again without sin, without bearing the sins of mankind. And he shall come one day unto what? The second time without sin unto salvation. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His exaltation. I believe in my heart that, listen, every tongue, every knee of both saved and lost will do what? Will exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do. You know, I was studying and thinking this week concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the thought that entered my heart, well, the Lord hadn't come so far in 2015, but he could. Will the Lord come in 2016? And if the Lord comes, people have different ideas of how they're going to meet Jesus. A lot of people have the idea and they think, listen, I'll meet him, I'll hug him, and I'll do all this. But my idea isn't that. My idea is what Paul told in this letter. He says, our knee's going to bow. He says, our tongue is going to confess the name of Jesus Christ in a way that will bring honor and glory to God the Father. It will be a solemn day when we stand and meet Jesus. For those that are saved, but much more solemner for those who have rejected him as their Savior. They will exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it will be to their condemnation to be eternally separated from him. And then we move on to another garden. Look what the Bible says again in verse 10 and 11. That the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is who? He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, folk, when everything is ended up, when everything is wound up, as we might say, closed up, you say, Brother Danny, what is going to stand? Jesus Christ is one and all, and Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the one and all, and that is the conclusion of all things. And that is the garden of glorification. The garden of glorification. Turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And look as John sees the Christ as he comes the second time. And look as he sees him, look at what he tells concerning him. The Bible says in verse 13 of Revelation 1, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, that's the churches, and one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and a girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass. They burned as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance, listen, was as the sun shineth in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if to be dead. My, listen, the glorified Christ. By in his first coming, born as a babe in the Bethlehem stall. But now listen, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and through his ascension, his exaltation to the right hand of God, but he's going to descend again. And he's going to descend, and listen, literally his second coming, the second phase, he will come back to this earth. And folk, you listen, he will come as the glorified Christ. Glorified. My, in all of his beauty, in all of his glory. And you know what? I think that's kind of what Job meant when he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And listen, I shall see him.
I think that's what the psalmist meant when he said, I shall see him and I shall be satisfied. My tonight, folk, listen, the glorified Christ. What is it all about? It's all about Jesus. I look and I think again. Every little place in that cemetery that we went had a section. And there was names of gardens. And each name showed the place where a certain loved one's resting place was. But I look and you look at the Scriptures. And the Bible says, search the Scriptures. For in them you think they are, you have eternal life. They are they that do what? Show me. Show where I'm at. And I think of what the Hebrew writer said when it says, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Now, I said that to get around to make an apology. You know, dumb preachers can get it back around. Now, this morning I referred to Little Blake. Well, Brother Ron came out and he was talking about Blake. It's not Little Blake, it's Little Drake, what I meant to say. And Little Drake is the one who memorized, and that's amazing, all the books of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. He did it. And you know what, folk? You may say, well, that's not a Baptist school. Baptists are not. They're teaching the right thing to these youngsters. Amen? They're teaching the right thing to these youngsters. But now look. Lo, I come in what? The volume of the book. Little Drake had memorized all the volumes. What is this book? A volume of many books. Yet, one book, the Word of God, but there are many books in this book. And that is the Word of God. And in some way or form, maybe not in name, but in some way or form, our Lord is mentioned or referenced to in every book. It's like those little youngsters that play in our circle there. They've got bicycles. In fact, one was left in our yard this evening. I could ride a bicycle, Brother Leland, if I could get on it. But those bicycles had spokes. And it points right to that hub. And it's pointing to the middle. And Jesus Christ is what? The hub. He's what it's all about. And tonight, folk, it's Him who we serve. It's Him who we honor. And it's Him. One day, we're going to be with. Won't it be grand? Won't it be glorious? All tonight, think about finding Him in the different gardens of this book. I hope tonight that Jesus blesses you. I hope tonight, and I've said and I say it again, if a preacher stood up and he quoted John 3:16. If I'm where I should be as God's child, it would bless my heart. It would bless my heart. It should bless our heart. The name of Jesus. But all that's involved in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for coming tonight. You blessed us by coming, but more importantly, you bless God. You're not about pleasing a preacher. You're about pleasing God. Amen. Pleasing Him and worshiping Him. And I do trust that the Lord keep us safe this week. If He don't come this year, there's the possibility He'd come any day next year. But more importantly, I pray that we'll serve Him and you'll have a wonderful, safe, and joyous new year in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember our services this coming Wednesday night. I know that there will be many that be traveling, and we pray for those who are absent. As we mentioned this morning, Courtney is getting married, so let's remember her. Sister Karen, Brother Ron, remember them in it. And so be praying for them as they begin a new life. So pray for them. Pray for those in our community that are lost. And as I said this morning, let's not just shoot amongst them, let's shoot at them. Amen. Get them on the hearing of the Word of God. And maybe the Lord, I believe He will, give us an opportunity to invite, encourage someone to be a part of our services, and let's just shoot at them and share the love of God and His message.